We've got another live session in store for you today. My guest in the studio, Laura Cortese, out in support of the new album called Into the Dark. Welcome to JPR.
Thanks for having us.
And you have brought along a couple of members of the band.
That's true. The album
features lots and lots of folks, but who do you have with you today?
We've got Marielle Vandersteel and Valerie Thompson.
Welcome, you guys.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Laura, when you were little, I read that you were listening to things like Otis Redding, mm-hmm. Luciano Pavarotti, Motown, Stax Records,
yep.
U2, Guns N' Roses. Why fiddle?
Well,
yeah.
So my grandmother played the violin, and in elementary school in San Francisco, at the time that I was in elementary school, you got to pick an instrument in fourth grade. And so, of course, I picked the violin. And that was kind of boring to actually do. I mean, it was, you know, maybe fun at the beginning, but as soon as I was in string orchestra, like staring at a music stand, it wasn't really for me. And I met another little girl who was like, I'm going to fiddle camp next week. And I was like, I want to go to fiddle camp. So at age 12, I first went to fiddle camp and saw that you could not only not have anything to do with the music stand, but you could, learn some music and then go play in the pool and then, you know, dance all night. And that it wasn't just sort of an isolated incident.
String orchestra didn't have a pool.
No pool.
Right.
No pool.
So what was that experience like for you? Having your musical horizons expanded so rapidly that it wasn't just sitting in a line of other people with your same instrument playing from a sheet of music.
I mean, it just completely transformed everything. I just couldn't wait to get to the next fiddle camp. Of course, it was a year away. And so my mother was like, well, you'll have to take string orchestra if you want to go to fiddle camp next year. Because we weren't going to do private lessons. And then, of course, I found the San Francisco Scottish Fiddle Club, which meant that, wow, there was like a monthly time that I could go hang out at someone's house, like run around in their yard, play some fiddle. There was a thing called Winter Weekend that they put on, which did have, you know, more of that hangout possibility as well.
Did you have much of an understanding of the kind of music that you would hear at fiddle camp when you went, or was it so everything about it was new? The idea
absolutely.
Of string music, bluegrass music was completely foreign.
Well, and this was a Scottish fiddle camp, and I just literally had never heard a Scottish fiddler. I'd never heard any of the teachers that were there. I had no idea who they were, that they were, you know, idolized in this genre, or that the genre even existed.
How'd you do?
Oh, I was terrible. I was really bad. I didn't learn very much. I remember like I learned one tune that I could actually take away. And in fact, for years, I mean, I was probably like the worst of the teenagers at fiddling. But I was fun, so everyone was nice and hung out with me. And over time, I realized, you know, I had to actually get better at the fiddle to remain a part of that community. So it was pretty much motivated socially, not so much because I was, you know, truly touched to the soul by, you know, one of these cultural musics that wasn't my culture.
Laura Cortese is my guest live in the JPR studios. The new album is called Into the Dark. You made your way back east. I want to talk about how you ended up in Boston, but let's hear some music first. What are you going to play for us?
We're going to play I Am the House, which is began as a poem from a friend of ours, John Beaton, and I put some music to it.
Caresses as tender as an April fiddlehead, uncurling in the wilds when fall undresses the birch and hazel. We will still be wed. I am the house, the beach, the barn, the grove. I am the house that holds you still, the place you first made love. Heartbeat and your breathing, gallop toes on the wind out of the trees, across a meadowland of bulbs unsheathing, flower stems that lilted in the breeze. tears fell. You lay on me while feeling settled like a dew on broken fronds. You saw below my sky, the stars, the ceiling, the droplets shine like rose-cut diamonds. I am the house, the beach, the barn, the grove.
It's Laura Cortese live in the JPR studios here on the Rhythm and News Service, streaming online at ijpr.org. The new album is called Into the Dark. So Laura, between string camp when you were little and college age, you ended up landing in Boston.
Yes, Berklee College of Music.
What happened in those next 10 years? Were you a regular on the sort of fiddle camp scene and a lot of music festivals and things?
Mostly just this one fiddle camp, the Valley of the Moon Scottish Fiddling School and the San Francisco Scottish Fiddle Club. I didn't go to too many music festivals, but my mom was very supportive of helping me be a part of this fiddle community. And one year, Matt Glazer, who was the head of the string department at Berklee College of Music, came to teach at Valley of the Moon. And one of my best friends, Hanukkah Castle, got very inspired to go to that school, went to that school a few years ahead of me. And so when I was trying to pick a college, I, of course, was like, Hanukkah, how's Berklee? Tell me. And she just had an amazing time, loved it. I went to check it out and applied there, but it's a very expensive school. So I actually deferred and went to UC Santa Cruz for a year. And then I was like, No, this is not gonna do it.
And at Berklee, I'm guessing you met Marielle?
I actually know Marielle from Valley of the Moon Scottish Fiddling School.
You guys go way back.
We go way back. And then I saw Lauren Hanukkah going to Berklee. I was like, how's Berklee? You should apply.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
I met Valerie Thompson, though, at Berklee College of Music. We were there at the same time.
But Valerie, you were at New England Conservatory? Or?
No, I actually just recently finished my master's at New England Conservatory. But I was from Kansas City, Missouri, originally. And I moved up to Boston to go to Berklee. And that's where Laura and all of these really cool fiddle players were. And I was very excited to get a chance to play with them.
It's got to be kind of an amazing scene to have that many incredible players all in the same spot.
Well, and now there's 10 times or 20, 30 times the number of players. So when I first was there, there was just a few of us that played fiddle music and mostly people that, like for example, Carrie Rodriguez was a great classical player at Berklee and was interested in getting into other styles, but it wasn't really until, you know, she committed to the idea of being more in the fiddle world till she was at Berklee and like hanging out with Casey Dreesen and Hanukkah and getting into it.
So you mentioned playing fiddle music.
Yeah.
What is it that you do play? I mean, your music falls in between sort of fiddle music and American string music from the sort of Daryl Anger, Mike Marshall tradition. There's some pop influence thrown in there.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I feel like we're doing folk Americana in a fiddle quartet, like not a string quartet, but we try to utilize as much as we can of the instrument's possibilities, including, you know, some more textural arranged things you might even think of as a string section. And in a lot of the more fiddle groove jam vibe to just explore sort of the full range without limitation of exact genre.
As evidenced on the tune you just did for us, it's not necessarily just fiddle music. You do a lot of singing.
Yeah. Well,
did that get started? When did you make the decision to focus on that as one of your instruments?
Well, I wasn't, you know, I did choir and stuff. I always loved to sing. I would say it was actually while I was at Berklee, Hanukkah Castle and Lissa Schneckenberger and I decided to form like a band. We all grew up going to fiddle camp together and we thought we should be in a band. And at that time, I was the one who enjoyed singing the most. So I became the sort of lead singer of that band. And so from then on, that was something I started to explore and identify with.
Are you more interested in singing or playing fiddle?
I guess I'm really interested in vocal music. Words are something that really inspire me. So, but I've tried doing things that involve having me be just the singer with like a band of people playing guitars and basses and drums. And it's not as inspiring for me not to have the fiddle as a central role. So I think for me, the two are really tied together. I wouldn't enjoy doing one without the other.
When songs pop into your head, are there words or melodies?
Both sometimes, really? One or the other. Yeah, I often try writing without the melody first, try just writing text, because I tend to like the text better. But sometimes, a little fragment will pop in that has the two together.
How do you make the decision on whether one of your tunes needs lyrics or whether your lyrics can be turned into a melody?
I think I explore all of them. You know, I pretty much always start thinking it's going to be a lyric-based song. Occasionally I set out to write an instrumental tune, but I would always try to put at least one melody or try several variations on a melody with some words. And, you know, I've got lots of completed songs that we just never use because I determined that they're just not the strongest.
Hmm. You've released a couple of EPs.
Yes.
Quite a few of them. And then full length here.
Yes.
Right? Fan funded.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Serious, incredible community pulled together and, you know, through Kickstarter. A lot of people, the interesting thing that I found was, you know, there were certain people when the name popped up, I'm like, oh, I've known them for years. They've been a wonderful support and community member for years. But the shocking thing was names I didn't recognize. And I would reach out and say, hey, like, where did you hear about this? And they would be like, oh, remember the time you were playing in Tao Rodriguez Seeger's band at the IOTA and the audience was really small. Like, I was there that night and I've been following you ever since. You know?
Wow.
And to find that there are these people out there that have been enjoying my music that I'm not aware of, and that now we're connected and that there's a conversation happening and I'm aware of their support as well.
Laura Cortese is my guest live in the JPR studios. The new album is called Into the Dark. Can we hear another tune?
We're going to hear Into the Dark, in fact.
All right.
We walked out under the stars, inventing constellations, fabricating time to wander in. We waited for the comet's arc, a sun world was ending, a flash of green descending through the stars. And while our lovers' backs were turned, engaged in conversation, the slightest indication of a spark. A demon and a rose, he said, your wit is ever sharper. It's cutting through the cage around my heart. Hold on to me as the flame grows.
is Into the Dark, the title track from the new album of Laura Cortese. She and her bandmates live in the JPR studios today, also streaming online at ijpr.org. We will have audio from today's session and photos from our live set up on our Facebook page later this afternoon. Laura, I was reading that when you were younger, swimming used to be part of your life as well.
That's true. How is that? Where is that?
When did you put that aside? I have people.
You have people. Well, I was a competitive swimmer. I was sort of in a team that was tracked for, there were all people that were trying to be sort of national champion type swimmers.
What'd you swim?
Oh, butterfly was my best stroke.
That's hard.
I would say backstroke was second, breaststroke third, and crawl I was terrible at. And I won a lot of races when I was in my, you know, middle school years, and I thought, oh God, I want to do this. And then I went to this other team, and my times just weren't fast enough. I needed about 6 months to get to the next bar. So that meant for 6 months I wasn't competing, and that meant that I didn't have what was making me really like it, which was to feel like, duh, I'm the best swimmer. There was, again, it was kind of like the music stand, like your head is in the water. There's not a lot of social interaction. And even though in the off season, you know, we would play water polo briefly or something, there weren't real like relationships like at fiddle camp. So I kind of, I stepped away from the swimming and committed more fully to music.
I'm guessing that the athletics helped the breathing, right?
Perhaps.
Decent set of lungs for singing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, perhaps. I still love exercise. It's a huge, huge part of my my daily life.
Do you still swim?
Yeah, actually. Not like on a regular basis. I don't have a pool that I have access to, but in the summertime, there's a music camp and an artist retreat that I go to on an island. And I'm a co-founder of the music camp with my friend, Kristen Andreas. And it's actually a mile swim around the island, which I've done. And then there's a tiny little other island that you can swim around. It takes like 20 minutes. So I usually do that those weeks.
I would call that a quarter mile drown. Looking through the credits on the album.
Yes.
It is a laundry list of string musicians.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. How did you get in contact with all of those folks?
Well, all of the string musicians on the record, with the exception of Valerie, grew up going to Valley of the Moon Scottish Fiddling School. We all knew each other. So Hanukkah Castle, Natalie Haas, Brittany Haas, Marielle Vandersteel, and myself, we've all known each other since we were little. And we're all actually dear friends outside of the fiddle world.
So you're like the fiddle camp Mickey Mouse Club kind of
pretty,
thing.
Pretty much.
You've all grown up into adults and you're all successful now.
Yeah, right, yay! And so that's at the core of the record. That's really who was in the studio. That's where we started. All the songs started with strings. And then there's, you know, another laundry list of more awesome musicians that are all people that I've met traveling or that I know from the Boston area who I really enjoy collaborating with. And we sort of had them put just their little tastes here and there to fill it out.
When it comes to musicians and music in this genre, string music, there seem to be a rare number of them that break through. Out of the sort of string music mold and into more pop awareness, pop culture.
Yeah,
Crooked Still did a very nice job of that. Of course, Punch Brothers has gone enormous. Nickel Creek did a really good job. Is that something that collectively all of you in this group are aspiring to, or are there other motivations that drive you to play with one another and experience and explore new musical sounds?
Well, I would say like the motivation is probably not to necessarily break through, although that would, you know, of course that would be nice if there were lots and lots of people who wanted to listen to this. But I think the main thing driving us is, at least I'm speaking for the other two, you guys can add to this, but that having a real confined expectation of what you're allowed to do musically isn't satisfying, and that we all enjoy reaching out and seeking a lot of different interests, and that, you know, includes the things we like to listen to, whether it's like we're listening to ridiculous girl pop in the car, or we're listening to, like, you know, Eli West and Kahalen Morrison, you know, playing original string music, or whatever it is that we're listening to, and whatever it is that we're challenging ourselves with on our instruments, that we could sort of bring that all to the band. And if that means a wider range of people are interested in it, that's awesome.
Is anything off limits musically for you guys to try to work an arrangement?
I don't think we've come up against anything yet.
Not yet. We've got a lot left to explore. But
yeah, we have so much to explore. Holy cow.
So you guys made the trip over to visit us from Arcata. What was in the car?
Oh, what did we listen to? Uh-huh. This American Life.
Oh, well, there you go.
Specifically.
All right, that's okay.
The very, very beginning. It's a little rough in the beginning, like the very, like 95.
Oh yeah, we listened like, to the very first two episodes of This American Life.
Yeah, that was interesting.
And, but on the last tour, we listened to Taylor Swift, Beyonce.
Ellie Goulding.
Exactly.
Tell me about how you ended up in the cast of performers that celebrated Pete Seeger's 90th.
Oh, yes. I was in Tao Seeger's band. So Pete's grandson, Tao Rodriguez Seeger, and I and a couple other friends, we briefly had a band called the Anarchist Orchestra, which sort of became Tao Seeger Band. And that was about a 3-year, maybe 4-year, playing for him, playing in his band a lot. And so when it came time to do the Pete Seeger 90th birthday celebration, Tao was a big organizer in it. And so there were two house bands. One was Tao's band and the other was the Saturday Night Live band. And so we did some songs where we backed him up, some songs where we backed him up together, some songs where, you know, I was playing with Patterson Hood and Michael Franti, just like having a fiddle feature with the Saturday Night Live band or whatever.
That's a pretty cool gig.
It was pretty amazing.
You know, it's always interesting for us when we have musicians visit us that have some sort of connection to our region. And I read that you've actually mentioned Mount Lassen as being one of your most inspiring places.
Oh, that's actually where I met the little girl that I went to fiddle camp with. But the reason my whole family has gone there since my mom was born, or probably since her brothers and sisters were born. And I think her father went there growing up as well. My mother grew up, she's a native San Franciscan. Her dad lived in Vallejo. So every year my family goes up there camping for at least a week. And we have a family reunion type thing, go on a family hike, you know, 20 of us invading some trail. And so I've never missed a summer. And some of my best, you know, vacation memories are from there.
Cool. Laura Cortese is my guest live in the JPR studios. She is out in support of the brand new album called Into the Dark. Can we go out with one more? What are you going to play?
Yeah, we're going to play Heel to Toe, which is pretty much just all about partying with the community. And the lyrics were written by a good friend of mine, Sean Staples. He wrote the song on an island that I go on a retreat with every year, and he let me record it on this album. So I'm very grateful.
Mama's been tired, she ain't slept in a week. Baby's been crying all night. Squeak, 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 me, I'm fine.
Me, I'm fine.
I ain't got nowhere to go except downtown to dance that heel to toe. Daddy's been quiet, he don't talk to anyone. He got things to do. Things never do get done. Well, me, I'm fine.
Me, I'm fine.
I ain't got nowhere to go except downtown to dance that heel to toe. That old heel to toe. Heel to toe. Keep on dancing that old heel to toe. I catch her staring at the door. She used to talk about dreams, but she don't dream much anymore. Me, I'm fine.
Me, I'm fine.
I ain't got nowhere to go except downtown to dance that heel to toe. That old heel to toe. Heel to toe. Keep on dancing that old heel to toe.
Come on.
Get your coat and put those things away. We've been down so long. A
That is Laura Cortese live in the JPR studios. The new album is called Into the Dark. Laura, Marielle, Valerie, thanks for taking time to stop and visit with us.
Thanks for having us.
Good luck on the rest of your tour.